Now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. This week, the Milwaukee area has been blessed with some amazing weather. Warm days that turn into cool nights, with just a hint of what's to come. And as we celebrate the turning of the seasons, many of us are looking to prepare our lawns and gardens for the cold months ahead. Every month, gardening expert Melinda Myers joins us to share her tips and tricks on how to make the most of your garden. Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Joy.
So, you know, as we're all enjoying the fall weather, it's been beautiful out this week. I think a lot of us are also thinking about our gardens, our yards, and how we prepare them for what's obviously coming ahead. What should we be doing right now to make sure that our gardens specifically are ready for the cold weather?
You know, that's a great question. One of the things we often forget about in fall, we get here and we're finally thinking, okay, the intense part of the growing season is over, but our plants are busy putting down roots. And so we need to make sure that we're watering properly. You know, it's been fairly dry recently, so a good soaking when the soil's top few inches of soil are crumbly and moist is a good idea. So just watch the weather pattern, check the soil, and then give it a good soaking because we want to put those plants, keep them in good shape going into winter. That's really the start of winterizing your plants, is making sure they're healthy. If you haven't mulched the soil, put down some shredded bark or wood chips around those trees and shrubs, or maybe those fall leaves that you collect with your mower when you chop them up with the mower and you bag them, use them as mulch on the soil around your perennials, and that will help insulate the roots as the weather cools down. It helps conserve moisture, reduce suppress weeds, and then next spring you're going to start off with your garden mulched, fewer weeds to deal with, and you'll kind of get a jump start on the season ahead. Plus, it helps when we have those torrential rains that it helps to slow the velocity of water so it doesn't run off of our gardens and into the storm sewers and create problems with our waterways. And that's where Fresh Coast Guardians has some really good pointers on how to keep water where it falls on your landscape so it does some good for you, less work for you, better for your plants.
Now, when you're thinking about using stuff from your garden to mulch with, is there anything that you should be aware of not using? Is there anything that you should make sure you are taking out of that pile?
That's a really good point. Anything that's disease or insect infected. So if you're growing squash and you have squash vine borer, you want to throw those vines away. Most municipalities allow you to bag them and throw small quantities of disease or insect infested or invasive plants in the trash, because some of those diseases and insects overwinter on the plant debris. And so if you use plant material, fall leaves that have no disease problems, leave your perennials that are healthy stand, get rid of those, you know, cut them back to the ground, any that have some leaf spot disease. Leaving our perennials stand not only provides winter interest, which we all really benefit from in the winter, it increases hardiness, so your plants are more likely to survive no matter the kind of crazy winter weather we have. And they also provide homes for many beneficial insects, the good guys, some bees and some butterfly larvae and things like that. And they also provide food for the birds. And so things like coneflowers and rudbeckia, those seeds you'll bring in the birds that you can enjoy the motion and color they add to the landscape. And then I like to do my cleanup on one of those nice warm days, late winter, early spring, or as late as I can stand it when I'm really anxious to get in the garden, versus fall when we've got so many things to do that it's one less project now and you get a lot of benefit by waiting.
Now, although we're talking about mostly cleaning up, preparing for the next year, actually, this has to do with preparing as well, but it is planting. You can still do some planting this time of year for a more colorful spring. What should you be putting in the ground right now?
You know, this is a great time to plant trees, shrubs, and perennials. The soil's warm, so as they're putting down roots this fall, it will help speed up establishment. The air is cool, so they're losing less moisture. You often can find deals at the garden centers and nurseries, but you always want to buy a healthy plant because something that's half dead that may be a quarter of the normal price may not be such a value. So looking for healthy plants, you know, you can also push the season if you've got a little space or a container and plant some greens. I need to get busy doing that. You know, a little bit of row cover, floating row cover. It's fabric that lets air, light, and water through but traps the heat. That will push it a bit. And then garlic, you know, garlic is good and shallots are good to plant next month. And so letting that soil cool down a bit more is a good time. And then, of course, spring flowering bulbs. You know, nothing like watching those daffodils, tulips, and crocus peek through the ground in spring to let you know we made it through another winter. And I like bulbs for a couple reasons. You plant them now, and so it's pretty comfortable temperatures usually. And then when they come up in the spring, the weeds haven't really started growing. So it looks beautiful. And I don't have to worry so much about those weeds competing with the beauty of my spring flowering bulbs.
Yeah. Now, some people might still have plants that are doing okay in their garden, that are perhaps even just producing fruit still. I know I have a couple of pumpkin vines that have some fruit that are hanging out on them. Should we be taking those in now? Should we be letting them stay out there? When is it too cold for these plants to continue growing their fruit?
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned it. I had a late start on planting my tomatoes out in the garden. And so every time the temperatures start dipping low, you know, in the 40s, I keep thinking, please, no freezing temperatures. Because I'm going to be eating a lot of green tomatoes. So the same with the pumpkins and your melons. As long as those temperatures are above freezing, those plants can tolerate it. You know, a lot of times we'll get a frost and then we have 2 weeks of beautiful weather. And that's where those bed sheets come in handy. Why I like the floating row covers is as the temperatures drop and we have some danger of frost in the forecast, I can cover them. They just loosely cover the planting with this fabric, anchor the edges with stones or pipes or those landscape, you know, metal wickets, and I can leave it in place until I need to lift it to harvest. And if we get frost, the plants are protected. But if we get some warm weather, I don't have to ventilate. And so it's really easy. And those products are reusable unless they rip and tear. So I usually get a couple of seasons out of mine. I just kind of keep cutting it smaller and smaller if it does rip and tear, and then I can cover small plantings. So as long as we don't have those freezing temperatures, most of our vegetables are going to be fine. In fact, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage can take a light frost and the flavor's even better. I just harvested some broccoli the other day and that was so good with these cooler temperatures, that bitterness disappears. You know, in the summer I was eating my broccoli, but it wasn't as tasty as it was the other day now that we've had some cooler temperatures, and a light frost will even sweeten it up. The other thing you can do that's kind of fun, if you have carrots, you could leave them in the ground for winter, the ones you don't need. The ground gets just a little bit crunchy, throw some straw or evergreen boughs over the top of that area. And then if we have a winter thaw, you know, it always seems like January or February, the temperature warms up, the soil thaws out, lift those up. Those are some of the sweetest tasting carrots you'll ever eat. I've done it a couple times with great success and can't beat that flavor.
Wow. Now, if you have some plants that you may have put in the garden during the summer because you wanted them to get a little bit of fresh air, but they are perhaps a plant that you'd prefer to have inside, how should you go about that? Should you just leave them in the garden if they've seemed to like that, or should you try to uproot them?
Good question. So things that are not reliably hardy. So I'm thinking of our tropical hibiscus, mandevillas, maybe even some house plants that were really struggling and you thought they'll really improve if I put them outside. You can bring them back in. There's always the risk of bringing some insects in along with them. And we'll talk about that for a moment. But now that the temperatures are getting cooler, it's time to start thinking about gradually bringing them inside. You know, when we get these temperatures at night in the 40s, most of those plants should start moving indoors. What I like to do is bring them in, put them in the sunniest window I have, and then gradually, if they belong in a lower light situation, gradually reduce the amount of light those plants receive until they get to their final destination. Artificial lights are a great way to help in that transition or just to eliminate the stress. We'll often have those plants drop leaves because the leaves have adjusted to that bright sunlight outside, even if a shady spot, and now they're in much lower light. So they're blocking some of that light which is less that they're getting inside, and so we'll often get yellow leaves. The good news is most plants will recover and send out new growth. So gradually introducing them, check for insects. I have pets, so I always like to use organic products, like a Summit year-round spray oil that will suffocate scale all stages, mites and aphids, but it's safe. It's safe for my grandkids. It's safe for my pets. And so, you know, looking for those organic options if you're going to treat. So before you spray a pesticide on your plant, check the label. That's going to give you the information you need and help you make a good decision. And one application is usually not enough. So if you find insects, isolate those if you have other plants that are still inside. And so that's a good way to do it. And the other thing might be cannas and calla lilies and gladiolas, dahlias. Those, after a light frost, we can dig those, put them in a warm, dry location till they kind of, you know, those wounds close up, remove any soil, don't scrub them, just kind of brush off any soil, cut off the dead foliage, and store them in a cool, dark location for the winter. And that's one way we can overwinter those things. So then we can either start them inside next spring or plant them directly in the garden. We'll just get flowers later in the season if we wait until after the danger frost has passed next spring. But those plants can come in after we have our first frost of the season, of the fall.
All right. Well, Melinda Myers, thank you as always for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you.
Melinda Myers is a gardening expert and a regular Lake Effect contributor. For those who are interested in learning even more about preparing your yard for fall, Myers will be hosting a virtual seminar on the topic on October 7th. You can find a link to more information at wuwm.com.